the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.
In this edition of Education Now, I welcome Dr. Doug Martin, author of the book Hoosier School Heist, How Corporations and Theocrats Stole Democracy from Public Education. Hello, Doug.
Hello. Glad to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm so pleased to have you here. Before we get into the corruption in our public school system, could you tell our listeners something about yourself? Where did you go to school?
I went to school at South Vermilion High School in Clinton, Indiana, and it's about 9 miles outside of Terre Haute. So it was a public school, so I'm publicly educated, yes.
And where did you get your teaching, your college and your teaching credentials?
I actually don't have teaching credentials. Most of my teaching has been at the university levels. I have a PhD from Oklahoma State University in 19th century American literature and something called literary prosody, which is a fancy way of saying that I study poetic meter, rhythm, form. My first book is on the poet Walt Whitman. It was my PhD dissertation that was later picked up by a press in New York after I revised it.
How very...
I have taught at the public school level, but I don't have a teaching license now.
I understand what you're saying, because you have, because you're a college professor, you really shouldn't need a teaching credential because you teach at the university level. I understand that very well.
Yeah, well, and actually in Indiana, you have to take a test in order to teach at the public school level. So I started teaching at an alternative school, which is run by the school corporation in my area, and then I decided to move down and work with special ed kids as a behavioral aide. So what I do now is work with kids who have severe behavioral problems along with a certified teacher.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful work that you're doing.
Very challenging job.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, now let's talk about this book that you have written and really what's going on in public education today. I read just today that the Senate has approved a bill that, every state... parents have the choice to opt out of the test, which was really great news.
Really, yeah, I didn't hear that. I haven't been on the internet much today.
Yeah, so that was really great news, and I knew that that you would be interested in hearing that. Now, in well over 130 cities and towns, and 78 Indiana counties, 24 states, and the District of Columbia, your book, Hoosier School Heist, How Corporations and Theocrats Stole Democracy from Public Education, is exposing the billionaires and the theocrats and the corporations and the scandals and the corruptions and the crony capitalism and the money behind the so-called reform. So in your blurb to the book, you mentioned that Diane Ravitch, who's the New York University Research Professor of Education and the best-selling author and the former U.S. Secretary of Education, says that your book is one of the most frightening works that she's ever read about the corporate reform takeover of public education. So that's quite something for Diane Ravitch to say. I have a lot of respect for Diane, but I disagree with her that we have to make compromises. Did you hear her about that? That she's asking that we make compromises.
I haven't really heard exactly what she has said about compromising, but I think this is going to take an all-out rebellion against the system as it now stands. I travel around Indiana a lot. I speak to various groups. I speak to United Auto Workers. I speak to teachers, politicians. I speak at universities. The problem is, so many people still don't understand what's going on, and the people that have the power to educate the public just either don't do it for various reasons. In Indiana, we have the Indiana State Teachers Association, which spends over $1 million trying to get public school-friendly Democrats elected every election cycle, and it doesn't work because no one understands what is going on. You have to educate the general populace, and some of these groups are having a hard time even educating their own members. So that's a big problem, I think. So I think in many ways it has to move beyond the political arena, and there has to be something like the opt-out movement, which is going to wake people up and say we've had enough.
Yes, I agree with you that there has to be something. The opt-out movement is terrific, and you know, it's taken a while. It's taken 5 years for opt-out to really get the power that they have now. And boy, oh, they're getting so much criticism, and that's because they do have this power now. Have you heard about the parent strike?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be having Donna Yates Mace on to talk about parent strike, which is going to be happening their first action they're calling for this September, on September 17th. So I'm very, very excited about that, and I feel like, you know, your work is not in vain, Doug. I mean,
you
look at...
Sometimes I feel it is, but yeah, I know there's... I mean, it took me a long time. When I first started writing the book in it was November 2010 was the first time I published anything along these lines, and hardly anyone was listening. I was a part of Parents Across America, and Donna helped me out at the very beginning. A lot of people across the country were listening to me, and no one in Indiana was. And that has changed. There's no question about it. The conversation in Indiana has changed now because of my book. A lot of people don't understand that. I go to events, and people don't even want to buy the book because, I know everything. And they'll start talking about something that comes directly from my research. But it's frustrating because it takes money to travel, right? And it takes money to go out and speak. And sometimes I'll get a small fee and sometimes I don't. But a lot of it has been my own money that I've spent. So it's sort of frustrating when people don't want to support your cause. At the same time, it's very refreshing to hear people talk about things that you know you are responsible for exposing, even though they may not be aware of it.
You're right.
Yeah.
I know exactly. I know exactly how you feel. Yeah, because once my children were, all graduated from college and on their own, and I closed our private school, which I took my children out of public school in 1980 because this was all coming down. So it's really been a long, long struggle.
Yes, it has, yeah.
And so, you know, I just want to do everything I can to get public education back where it was before this happened. And your book, you know, it's really sad that it's taken so long. But on the other hand, if you hadn't done the work, where would we be? And I'm grateful, and I hope that somehow you find that you get some kind of the kind of support that you need. Now, do you have children of your own, Doug?
No, I do not. No, I do not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you're coming at it from, I know two of my children have chosen not to have children, you know, and I've said, look, I did what I wanted and you should do what you want. And I know that they love children and work with children. That's not the issue, but you should do what you want. So, that's another really, something awesome is that you're doing this and you're not doing it because, oh, gee, I have kids and I want it to be different from my grandkids. Or, you know, you're seeing them as all of them. All the children are our children.
Yes, and I think the same, people always ask me what I learned from writing the book. And one thing that I always say is I learned that I live in a totally different country than I thought I actually lived in. Because, like a lot of people from the academic world, I know George Lakoff, the cognitive linguist that's written various books on political messaging, said, you get stuck in that mode and you really don't understand how the real world works. And once you start digging below the surface, you see it's all very interconnected. And some of the same billionaires are involved in various movements, which is class warfare. And we turn on the TV, we pick up the newspaper. Sometimes it's just mere propaganda. Other times it's deception or it's hiding various things from the audience so that people can't put the pieces together. Some of this is very conscious on the part of journalists and newspapers, and other times it's just people who don't understand themselves what's been going on, and they believe the think tank propaganda that's being fed to them or the business person in a suit, whether it be Bill Gates or Eli Broad. So it shocked me to understand. I understood American history a lot more after writing this book. And coming from the Terre Haute area, we had Eugene V. Debs. He's buried outside of town here now. And I was talking to a teacher today, and she was mentioning how at one point when she's, I don't know how old, she's probably in her late 60s now, maybe 70. But she said at one point when she was in school, there was a conversation about what to name various schools in the Terre Haute area. And one of the mentions was to name it after Debs. Well, they didn't name it after Debs. They named one school after Woodrow Wilson. Who was one of the presidents that, you know, kept Debs imprisoned. So you start looking at all this from a different context, and then you see that it's not just the schools or the post office, because they use the same similar techniques on the post office, you know, create a crisis in order to eventually try to turn them over to private companies. And you start seeing it from a different light, and you see that capitalism is essentially the problem here. And how to get around that is the ultimate question. Chris Hedges, I don't know if you've read his new book. I've read most of it, but he talks about how there needs to be an all-out rebellion against it, and people need to get some moral courage. And I don't see a lot of moral courage with the people that do have power, whether it be the party leaders or the teachers' union leaders. They just lack moral courage. In Indiana, the teachers' union plays very nice publicly and believe they can take control this from inside the political circle. Well, it's obvious when you only have a closet full of Democrats who care about education left in the legislature that it's going to take something else. It's going to take something more assertive to turn the school bus around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do feel that Bernie Sanders is a huge breath of fresh air. And I do feel like people are, you know, the country, so many people are supporting him. Of course, it's not getting any press, just like these education reforms are not getting press. But it's happening. You know, we know it's happening from social media that he has the support of the majority of this country. He has more support than any Republican, and he's now polling ahead of a Hillary Clinton. So that's hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to say a lot of times when I talk that Ronald, it doesn't really matter who's president because Ronald McDonald's been president of America since day one. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to fight it within the political arena, I think. And it just, it's going to take some type of grassroots movement to change things. I don't know what it is. Sadly, I think it's probably not going to happen.
At least
people are waking up, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not as pessimistic, I guess, as you are. I feel that President Obama is being more courageous and is taking a stronger stand, and I feel that that is hopeful. I also feel that the opt-out movement and the support that it has, and it is a grassroots movement, that it is hopeful. I feel that the parents who in New York who just, you know, made a huge demonstration and got press everywhere, they are making a difference. I feel that the parents and teachers in Washington are making a difference. I feel that the Chicago Teachers Union, which has gone on a hunger strike, is making a difference. And so, you know, I see that there is hope. And I want you to, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I like the Chicago Teachers Union. Now, I saw some Diane Robbins sent out something earlier about the Los Angeles Teachers Union trying to fight off the Eli Grove plan there, and Walmart, I guess, and it is involved too. So, yeah, it's good to hear all of that happening. It really is.
Right. I wish that the unions had taken a stronger position long, long ago. Right back with, you know, No Child Left Behind. I really wish they had, but you know they need to divest money that teachers have, you know, put into the unions, and then the unions are investing it in, you know, all the things that we're teaching the children, you know, are not good, you know, because you know, global warming and climate change and the true history, you know. And so and those same people who do those textbooks that you know, put out that kind of propaganda are those same people that run those testing, you know, Pearson, and those that are making a killing from milking the public education cow. Those are the same people. They're all the same families. And so, you know, that is, we need to get those unions speaking for the teachers and the parents and the children, and not for these corporations. And I don't know, I see that change has happened in Chicago and in Seattle, and I think it's coming in Los Angeles and I think the South Bay pretty much, here at any rate, it's happened. So, it's sad that the people of color are the ones, and those who live in poverty are the ones that are suffering the most through all of this, which is maybe why some people, it's taken them so long to see the writing on the wall and care.
Yeah.
Well, you said that you had written quite a bit about the Gulen movement in your book. And I, you know, they're here in California, that chain charter school. And you know, for a long time, you know, I thought the chain charter schools were the biggest problem, and they are. But I wanted to support the charter schools that have been started by teachers and by parents. I really wanted to support them, and I will support them if they don't like force the kids to take the test without asking the parents.
Yeah, I have about 10 pages on the Gulen movement in my book, and I was interviewed by a few, an alternative newspaper in Indianapolis. The FBI has read parts of my book on that. It was interesting because after the book came out, I was speaking to a group of community leaders in Indianapolis, and they have one of the Gulen schools in their neighborhood, and I was explaining this. There was a Teach for America representative there. There was a couple people from the Indiana Department of Education, librarians from the Indianapolis Public Library, a few charter school people, but I think they weren't really corporate charter schools. I can't remember who they were exactly, but I was explaining to them the Gulen movement, and I remember them looking at me like I was just completely crazy. And I said, you have a Gulen movement charter school in your backyard, and I was explaining the Sharon Higgins' research and the FBI and the CIA and Fethullah Gulen and the oil interests that the U.S. probably had in other parts of the world that Fethullah Gulen had helped the U.S. government and corporations out with. And I was trying to put all this into some type of summary, and they were looking at me, you know, like I was crazy. Well, a couple weeks after that, I got on the Internet, and sure enough, the FBI raided that very charter school that I was talking about in the backyard. I mean, I don't know if that one's in my book or not. There's a few of them in Indianapolis, but no one really knows what the outcome was. It had something to do with federal Arne Duncan money, I believe. But as I explained to the newspaper in Indianapolis, the alternative newspaper, these groups have been looked into for visa fraud for a long time by the FBI. So very interesting story, very hard to keep track of all of it. If there's anything that does sound like some kind of conspiracy theory, it has to be the Gulen movement. But there's enough evidence when you start looking at it that something doesn't add up here. So, yeah, and Sharon Higgins in California has just done amazing research on putting it all together. She was a very big influence on me from the get-go, too.
Right.
Yeah, a very big influence.
So do you know if they're still in operation?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's still operating. They never did close it down. So.
Huh. But he runs, the Gulen schools are not just in California, are they?
No, they're supposedly the biggest charter chain in the entire country. I don't know how many schools now, maybe 170. I've lost count. I can't remember what Sharon Higgins' latest research was. But, yeah, they're everywhere. There's a whole branch of them that are in Ohio that are connected, that were at one point connected to the Indiana ones. And there was an investigation that the Ohio State Auditor did, which I talk about in my book and show the original document from the investigators' reports, showing that money had been spent on things that it shouldn't have been spent on. So, yeah, it's hard to keep track of that movement, definitely.
Right. A lot of what I was able to, what I remember from a lot of this was how they would get rid of kids, the kind of kids that you're working with, you know, special needs, how they could get rid of them. How they would enroll them so that they could get that money, but then they would, you know, they would get rid of them. They would, you know, siphon them off. And so that, because they wanted their scores to look a certain way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That happens across the board, I think, especially in Indiana. When I went through the research for my book, it looks like almost all the charter schools were trying to do that. I mean, because there weren't hardly any special ed kids. There weren't hardly any second language or language learning students. So compared to the traditional public schools, yes.
Well, a lot of public school teachers that I've spoken with, one of the reasons that they are leery of Common Core is because they do feel that it puts those kids who are special needs at disadvantage. And it also puts all of those bright kids, you know, with the soft skills that are so important for succeeding in life, it puts them at disadvantage. And so that's why, you know, one of the things I wonder is how could they possibly approve this without the support of experts in child growth and development. You know, that is one reason why I will never stop. I will never stop fighting. I will never stop yelling, hollering, and doing what I can, because it is such a anathema that we are doing this to our children when it does not support our own science. And yeah. So are there other charter school chains that you know of, and what they're called?
Well, there's KIPP. That's a big one. They're in Indianapolis. They're in my book.
Right.
There's an interesting one. I guess I don't think it's national yet, but there's one called Noble Charter Schools that's had a lot of trouble in the Chicago area. And as I point out in my book, they were at one point charging parents money for certain infractions that kids did. I think it was Noble, and then there was a banker involved, I believe. But a lot of what went on in D.C., there was a little section about D.C. in my book, too. A lot of the people who were on the D.C. Charter School Board that were approving the charters were also involved in loaning money. Their banks were loaning money to these charters.
Right.
Well, it's crony capitalism.
Right. In Chicago, I know, I've heard, you know, I've had Philip, who represents the Chicago Teachers Union, I've had him on several times, and, you know, he has said, you know, it's not an elected school board in Chicago. Those people are put on the school board by, you know, by the creep there that, you know, that they have to deal with. And so, their governor. And so, it's not an elected school board, so it doesn't surprise me that this school board in Chicago is so corrupt, since it's not elected, by the people, or, you know, the actual union doesn't have, you know, any input in on it. That's one thing that I have heard. You know, now people can go to your website if they want to check out the book or send you contact you personally. Is that right?
Yeah, it's HoosierSchoolHeist.com, and then there's an order link. One of them takes you to Amazon. One of them takes you to PayPal. Or if you want to order it through the mail, by check, you can just email me from that link. Yes, there's an email contact address on there. It's just Doug@HoosierSchoolHeist.com.
Right. So Doug@HoosierSchoolHeist.com. They should use your name, D-O-U-G, at HoosierSchoolHeist, HoosierSchoolHeist. .com.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that there should be a Doug in front of that, so that I can be sure it's done properly in the promotion.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I want to be sure that I get Philip's name, Philip's last name,
I was trying to think who you were talking about. I know there's a Philip Cantor, but I can't remember.
Yes, that's it. It's Philip Cantor. Cantor. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I know a lot about him. I mean, I see
he's wonderful. Yeah, he's been on the show two or three times, and it just Cantor wouldn't come to me right there, but just thank you so much for remembering. But we've talked a lot about the Chicago Teachers Union with Philip, and my audience loves his shows and the shows that I've done with him, and he's quite a remarkable person, I think, too. I know there was a woman in Chicago, a mother, who was addressing the closing of the school in her neighborhood and a protest that they not close the neighborhood school. And it was pretty heart-wrenching. I mean, I don't understand how they can close neighborhood schools, you know, with schools that kids can walk to. Schools, you know, that if they invested in could become, you know, models for that community. It's just sick. This privatization has to end before it destroys more lives than it already has. Well, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else would you like to tell my listeners?
Well, I guess you mentioned charter school chains. There's another one named Imagine Charter Schools, which is run by a guy named Dennis Balky. This is how I first got involved in writing about this, because he was in Fort Wayne, had several schools in Fort Wayne, and the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette wrote a series of articles about these schools, how a lot of them didn't have teachers. They were, anybody who was protesting, they would fire. And I started looking into this guy, and I found out that Dennis Balky has connections to our former governor, Mitch Daniels, and they were on the associated. Daniels was on the board of something called the Indianapolis Power and Light Company. In Indianapolis, when Balky's energy group named AES was going under and they merged with the Indianapolis Power and Light Company, and a lot of people lost millions of dollars in their pensions, and the people that were supporting the buyout got a fat paycheck out of it. And a lot of this wasn't mentioned when Daniels ran for governor, and I started undercovering all this. And then a lady by the name of Karen Miller contacted me, and because she read an article I wrote, and she started explaining to me what was going on, because I really didn't understand the whole context and that this was a national movement. And she gave me a lot of encouragement. She was with Parents Across America at that point. She probably still is. And it's just shocking, because Balky has all these real estate kind of scam set up where he sells off buildings to an entertainment trust company. Then they rent out the buildings to him, I believe. And then somehow he sets up a nonprofit which runs the charter school. Then they just funnel the money into these for-profit companies, and they jack the rent on these schools to enormous levels just so they can drain as much taxpayer money out of it. And he was a part, and I guess he still is, of something called The Family in D.C. Are you familiar with that group?
Oh, yes.
The Family, yes. The Christian group that goes all the way back to after the New Deal, I believe.
That's right.
He's a part of that.
Goes all the way back to, what did you say?
I believe it was started after the New Deal went through with FDR, is when The Family originates in D.C. Some version of it starts back then, and it continues.
In a protest to the New Deal.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
These are free market Bible people. It's hard to believe if some of these people believe what they say, or if it's just a way to dupe people into believing that Jesus, you know, was the capitalist upstairs. It's hard. I mean, when you do the research on a lot of these people, you go, this is a scam. They're saying this to manipulate people to make money. Other ones you don't know. You think maybe they actually believe some of the stuff that comes
right
out.
Well, I know this.
I
know this group called The Family that you're talking about. I know that there are several members that are in in the Congress.
Yeah.
And they actually provide them with a residence in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
You know, so that they can all live together, right? And that they profess that kind of fundamentalist Christianity that is evangelical, of an unloving God, and then they say that they are that they are pro-life, but they don't care about the life, you know, after it's born.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, that's why you think, are they that stupid? Or, you know, is it just one more way of trying to keep keep a certain class where it is, and control, you know, control that money. And, you know, the rhetoric that's coming out of Trump's mouth, I mean, you know, this thing that, you know, about, I mean, it's hard for me not to laugh, but, you know, talking about immigrants when every single person here who is, does not have Native American or Mexican blood is an immigrant.
Yes, he's feeding the anger. I mean, that's the trouble, and that's another thing that Chris Hedges talks about so much in his books. I think he has actually a whole book written about it, is when fascism comes to America, it's going to be wrapped in the American flag and the Bible, and it's, you know, going to spread hate among certain minority groups.
Right.
So, yeah, and Trump feeds off of that very well.
Yes, he does. He does feed off of that. It is... that's an old saying that someone said, that, you know, when racism comes to America, it's going to be it's going to be carrying the Bible and wrapped in the flag, carrying a cross in the Bible and wrapped in the flag, and I just can't remember exactly, but that's the person who said that, Hedges is quoting, and I just but, you know, when the New Deal came down, all the things that we got with Social Security and stuff, that didn't affect the South. That didn't affect the people who were working in the South, because it didn't include, it didn't include people who served you in the home, right?
Yeah.
And so... That struggle, that was the compromise, because at that time in the South, Democrats were, you know, they were certainly not a friend of civil rights.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this was what Johnson, this was how FDR got it, they got it done. This is how, you know, eventually the Democrats who got the New Deal through got it done. And so we still have a long way to go, let alone that they're trying to absolutely kill Social Security. I think the other reason why Reagan, and I think it all started with him, all of this ugliness, I think the other way it got traction was, you know, to keep saying, to keep calling, you know, people who were on Medicare and Medi-Cal, they, to keep saying, to keep talking about people who were in a certain income, you know, as they, and everybody wanted to think of themselves as rich, right? They weren't just middle class, they were wealthy, right? And so they would always vote, you know, they would always vote against their own best interest. Of course, they had the media in their pocket, and the people own the media, and most people don't even know that, of course. And what's been happening with the media, especially with Fox News, is it's broken the public trust that they're supposed to have to use that media. Now, Canada's taken action. Canada is saying, no, we won't let Fox News here. But we somehow don't have the guts to confront them. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of real progressive media out there. One of my favorite websites is the Black Agenda Report that Glenn Smith and a few other ones, Glenn Ford, I mean, and a few other people operate. And they have a little radio show that lasts, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes every week, I believe.
Uh-huh.
These are very much socialist, and they call it like it is, and they're a little bit assertive. But so much of the media, even National Public Radio, is funded by, you know, the billionaires.
Yeah.
So you may get a different slant on some issues, but it's still pretty much corporate run. I remember when, during the election day, I was driving to, must have been school, I was driving somewhere, and NPR was on, and they referred to the guy that the governor of Illinois now as a businessman. I mean, he's like a hedge fund venture capitalist. The guy probably has enough money to buy America. But refers to him as a businessman. People do. They'll go, well, I'm well informed. I'm a liberal. I listen to NPR. But people don't understand. And I think, once again, Chris Hedges is the death of the liberal class. True liberalism has been dead a long time. I mean, the sort of aggressive union, Eugene V. Debs, people like that. I mean, a lot of that has ended a long time ago.
Yeah. Right now there's a whole blurb going on about Molly Ivins and supporting a documentary about her, and that's going to be great because wasn't she a wonderful voice?
Yes, I just picked up one of her books the other day.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I'll look at it.
But I do think that, you know, NPR, when I first started Education Now, it was on an NPR station here locally in 2006, and I left in 2010 over this very issue. First of all, the issue of global warming, I could not believe that NPR didn't have real scientists on, you know, and that they were going to do this, you know. And then, of course, the whole thing about teachers and not having any teachers on. Calling Bill Gates an expert in education was the biggest discuss. So I don't listen to NPR, and one of my sons really gives me a bad time about it. But I just can't do it. I just can't listen to that. It's not National Public Radio anymore. And they have, and people have asked them not to take Koch Brothers money, and they have asked and asked and asked, you know, McDonald's, but, you know, will it happen? Well, we can keep hoping. And so much of what they report is just fluff. And in many ways, the same is true of PBS.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of the more liberal voices have gone out on their own. Now, Amy Goodman is a wonderful voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she has Chris Hedges on, and I never miss her shows. She's a wonderful one. And then there are some other liberal voices out there, but I really feel like our social media, what we have created ourselves, is probably become more powerful than anything.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, this technology, it can, you know, if it's used to control us and control our children, it will be bad. But if it's used to inform us all, I heard that even in, this is not just national. I think it's global what's happening, Doug. I think
it is.
You know, socialism, what's happened in Greece has woken a lot of people up. It's the same thing that, you know, that is happening here if you listen to Bernie Sanders, and it's the same thing in England. Now they're talking about electing a socialist in England. So it's going to turn. And the stock market crashing, I think, was another indication that it's going to turn and they're not going to like it. But I do hope we do see justice with Bush and company and with the banks. You know, I want to see justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, all of it. It's quite frightening. It's very frightening in a lot of ways.
It is frightening.
And it's frightening that people don't understand it as well as they should, too. But, I mean, it makes sense. The people are controlled by the media, or, I mean, they're just not good at finding the information they need. So it makes sense that so many people are in the dark. But it is very discouraging. I mean, that's why I say when I go around speaking, because, I mean, sometimes I'll go to events and there's 100 people, and other times I'll go speak and there'll be one person. So I have one event that no one showed up to. So
right.
It gets very discouraging. We have Glenda Ritz is here. She's very good. She's running again for the superintendent's office. She is not a politician. She's a real human being, a good person, and cares for the children and for the better of the state. So we do have Glenda. I'm very happy about that.
Well, do you have some local stations, radio stations there, or some local TV?
We have some internet radio stations. There's one called Indiana Talks, which has Justin Oakley's show, Just Let Me Teach. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's got a national audience now. Just Let Me Teach. It's Justin Oakley. It's on Indiana Talks every Wednesday night. I believe it's on 8 o'clock now.
So have you ever been on his show?
Oh yeah, I'm on there all the time. Too much actually. So,
well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so yeah, that is a very good show. He has a pretty big bat following across the country.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and then there's a Workers' Voice show that comes out of the Kokomo area. So yeah, there is some alternative media, and Justin has a pretty big audience. I mean, his audience goes well, on a good day, it'll go into the tens of thousands of people listening.
Right. Well, that's good. So do you, when you're on his show, do you do a promotion ahead of time and let people know that you're going to be on?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I normally promote it, and he does too.
And does he archive his shows?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
good,
if
because
you just type in Doug Martin, Just Let Me Teach, you ought to be able to find some of those shows, and that will take you to where. Have you seen, because he did the armband, too, that say Just Let Me Teach.
Uh-huh.
He did those, too.
That's great.
He's
a
good guy.
So if a person just Googled Doug Martin, Just Let Me Teach.
It
should just come up just fine. And so are there any other outlets that where you feel that you've been able to reach out to a broader community to get PR for your book and for your speaking, for your, so people can pick your brains?
Well, I've been on James Miller's show before.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's on tonight, actually. I've been on the Rick Smith show out of Pennsylvania. I guess he was at the Bass Conference recording a month or so ago, too. That was one of the first shows I did, the Rick Smith show out of Pennsylvania. He's an old Teamster member that has the radio show now. And, yeah, I've been on a lot of radio stations, not only in Indiana but across the country, mostly internet stations, a few that are local. There's one community-led one in Bloomington, Indiana I've been on. And so, yeah, I mean, I have a voice, and I'm glad that people listen to me. I mean, you always wish more people would listen to you. But it's all been very much grassroots. The alternative newspaper in Indianapolis is called Nuvo, and I was nominated to be the best political activist in the state. I don't know what the results are. They haven't tallied it up yet. But everything I've done has been pretty much grassroots. It's been no money behind me whatsoever, no teachers union money. I went to AFT Indiana conference. They bought 20 some copies of my book, so they helped in that regard. I sold my copies at the Indiana State Teachers Association conference. They charged me a couple $100 just to sell my book.
Oh man!
So I am not getting any money from the biggest teachers union in the state.
Uh-huh.
When I first started writing about this, everybody said, well, you're a conspiracy theorist and, you're supported by teachers union. No, I am not supported by anyone. So, and every now and then I will go places and they'll say, okay, we'll put you up or here we'll buy some of your books, or at best they'll give me a couple $100, which doesn't happen too much, but it does help out because last year I traveled 6,200 miles just across the state speaking, and ended up blowing the engine in my car, so I had to buy a totally new car. So it's challenging, and you do get frustrated because you think, and the Democratic Party, most of them support public schools, but the party leadership itself could care less that I even exist. They don't promote my articles. They don't ask me to speak. I speak to a lot of local branches, but the state version, they just could care less. I don't know what the reason is behind a lot of this. I think a lot of it is they want to try to keep the conversation as polite as possible and to keep it in the political arena where they worry about getting people elected and not actually educating people. But if you don't educate the people about what's going on, you're not going to get the good people elected.
That's the truth. That's really the truth. Yeah, you know, I think that you would, now you said BATS conference, you mean the Badass Teachers Association?
Yeah, Rick Smith was at their conference.
Right.
Video host, yeah.
And they didn't charge you to sell your book, did they?
Oh, no. I didn't make it to the BATS conference, but I'm talking about the Indiana State Teachers Association.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know that at some of these demonstrations, like parent strike is going to have, that would be nice to, you know, if you do parent strike in your area, to have your book available.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good. Now, when did you first publish it? So tell us
it
again.
March 2014.
So it's really only been out a little over a year.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I
never wrote it for money. I'm not going to make any money off of it, and I don't care about the money. I guess what I'm just saying is, in order to get the message out, to get some of these politicians removed from office, somebody with the money ought to be doing something, because certain people across the state do something, but we're just all working kind of out of our own, you know, ways, and it's hard to get anything done. And so you have to ask yourself, when you have a teachers union where the higher branch is making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to run the union, and they charge Doug Martin, who did all the research that they could use to educate the public, money to sell books at the conference, you know, it's a no-win situation. You know
no.
What I'm saying? So they should take some of that money and just promote the message out. I mean, even if it's not about my book, even if they don't want to mention my book, they ought to at least, like the unions used to do, they would print newspapers and print off, you know, hundreds of thousands of copies to try to get the message out to people, but
right.
That doesn't happen anymore. So.
Right. I think that a lot of people have been angry. You know, it really sounds like they didn't really want to support getting your message out. I mean, in my opinion, but maybe I'm just being cynical, but I do feel that, it's been a long time since, with a huge collective voice, they spoke on behalf of the benefit of children. And I think that that's a crime, really. It's really so sad. I think that a reason that a lot of people who agree with us, Doug, a lot of teachers, a lot of union members who agree with us, one of the reasons that they're not vocal is that they don't want to give those people, the very people who are doing what they're doing in public education, the oligarchy, they don't want to give them any food, you know, any ammunition against the unions, because they're already union busting, right? They're already trying to take away our right to collective bargaining. And so it's a really tough row to hoe, you know?
I understand that. It's just things have fallen. And once again, it started back in the 80s, and it's just deteriorated. So now everybody's stuck in a hole in many ways. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But we are digging ourselves out. And I'm going to make a prediction here, Doug. I'm going to say that within the next 4 years, your message is going to be so skyrocket. I really think that it will, Doug. I really do. Well, you know, I've really enjoyed talking to you. And if you,
same here.
Yeah, and so if you do you have something you'd like to leave my listeners with before we say goodbye?
Well, I hope everybody's okay in all areas of your life, and thanks for listening. And, yeah, keep getting the message out about whatever's in your local area because people need to hear it.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Doug Martin, for writing your book, Hoosier School Heist, How Corporations and Theocrats Stole Democracy from Public Education, and for being my guest today on Education Now. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
Are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.